Good evening. Thank you for the invitation, the privilege to open up the scriptures. This evening we'll be looking at First Chronicles chapter 29. Our topic will be temple preparations and building. I'd like to begin by saying that this message tonight is primarily for Christians, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're here this evening and you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, our prayer is that the word as it is spoken will speak to your own heart, that you'll realize your need to confess your sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. This evening we'll be looking at temple preparations and building, and we're reading in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, and we'll begin in verse 1. Furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation, Solomon, my son, whom alone God had chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great. For the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God, the gold for the things to be made of gold, and the silver for the things of silver, the bronze for the things of bronze, and the iron for the things of iron, and the wood for the things of wood, onyx stones and stones to be set, glistening stones in the various colors, and all manner of precious stones and marble stones in abundance. Moreover, because I have set my affection upon the house of my God, I have of mine own proper goods, or my own special treasure of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God, over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house, even 3,000 talents of gold, the gold of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver, with which to overlay the walls of the houses. The gold for the things of gold, and the silver for the things of silver, and for all manner of work to be made by the hands of craftsmen. And who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? Then the heads of the fathers and the princes of the tribes of Israel and the captains of thousands and of hundreds with the rulers of the king's work offered willingly and gave for the service of the house of God of gold 5,000 talents and 10,000 drams and of silver 10,000 talents and of bronze 18,000 talents and 100,000 talents of iron. And they with whom precious stones were found gave them to the treasury of the house of the Lord by the hand of Jehiel the Gershonite. Then the people rejoiced, for they offered willingly, because with a perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy. Verse 10. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and David said, Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all, both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. But who am I, and what are my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. For we are strangers before thee, and sojourners, as were all our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. whole, Lord our God, all this abundance that we have prepared to build an house for thine holy name cometh of thine hand and is all thine own. Shall we pray? Our Father, we would ask tonight that your Spirit would penetrate and touch each and every heart here tonight in a real way. For your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It was David's great desire to build a house, a glorious place for God, to build a temple. And we read in 1 Chronicles 22, he even said it was in his mind to build a house to the name of the Lord his God. But the word of the Lord went to him and said, you've shed too much blood, you've fought too many wars to build a house for my name. Behold, a son will be born, a man of rest, and I'll give him rest over all of his enemies. His name will be Solomon, and I'll give him peace and quietness. And David, when he heard these words, no doubt he could have thought, well, this is it, because David was about to die. This is the end of his life. He had fought the battles of God. He had destroyed the enemy on many occasions. And it was in his heart, it was his great desire to build a house for God, but he was told no. He was told he couldn't do it. And David could have easily thrown up his hands and said, well, that's it. He could have easily bought a condo down in Florida and played golf the rest of his life till he died. But he didn't do that. He didn't do that. The scriptures tell us in 1 Chronicles 22 that David said, Solomon, my son's young and inexperienced, and the house to be built for the Lord must be exceedingly magnificent, famous, and glorious throughout all the world. And he says, I will now make preparations for it. And the scriptures tell us that David made abundant preparations before his death. We see that even though David was told no, yet he was not discouraged. He was determined that the holy temple, the dwelling place of God, would be built in Jerusalem. And the scriptures even tell us in 1 Chronicles 28 that the pattern of this temple was given to him by the Spirit. And even as Moses was given the pattern of the tabernacle, so too was David given the pattern of the temple, because he was determined that the temple would be built, even though he would be dead and buried. A great and glorious place, a holy temple would be built, a dwelling place for God. A temple would be built in his absence. It was his desire for a place, to have a place to bring the Ark of God, the holy articles of God, into a glorious place that God might dwell with his people. 1 Chronicles 23 through 28 speak of those preparations and how he prepared the priesthood and the order of the Levites and the musicians and the singers and the gatekeepers and everything. He got it all in order. He made all the preparations. We read in 1 Chronicles 29 and 1, he spoke of Solomon his son, and he speaks to the congregation of Israel. And he said, Solomon, my son, whom God has chosen, is young and tender. But watch these words. But he said, the work is great, for the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. The work was great. And David prepared with all his might, we read in verse 2. He put all of his energy, all of his heart into this. For David determined that a holy temple would be built to God. And we read in verse 2 of all the gold and all the silver and all the stones and all the wood, everything that was needed to build that temple, he got it together and he made preparations. Because the work was great. You see, this temple was not going to be a memorial to David. It was not going to be a memorial to Moses. It was not going to be a memorial to Abraham or Isaac or Jacob. This palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. And the work was great. And he made abundant preparations. But notice, verse 3, that David set the example. He said, "Moreover, because I have set my affection upon the house of my God." And notice he says, "my God." He had that personal relationship with God. He was a man after God's own heart. He said, "I have set my affection upon the house of my God. I have of my own proper goods." And I like the translation that speaks, "I have of my own special treasure." The treasure of his own in the ESV. His own special treasure, I think, in the New King James. "Of gold and silver, which he gave above and beyond his preparations." David set the example. He gave his best beyond what he had already gathered for the building of the temple. And it was because his affection was for the house of the Lord. His affection was for God. And we see in verse 4 what this special treasure was. 3,000 talents of gold, the gold of Ophir, the 7,000 talents of refined silver. This was the best of the best. This was the absolutely pure stuff. This wasn't the throwaway stuff. This was the best. David wanted to give the best that he had to God. The gold for the things of gold, the silver for the things of silver. And all manner of work to be made by the hands of the craftsman. David's example. His special treasure given to God. Reminded of the Lord Jesus in his words where he said, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." David truly, in his later years especially, he finished well. He was a man after God's own heart. But we've seen David's desire, his affection for the things of God, for God himself. We've seen the example that he set before the congregation of Israel. And then David gives a charge. Verse 5. "Who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord?" The thought there of consecration is the thought of coming with a filled hand. A filled hand. Who is willing to do this? Who is willing to follow my example? Who is willing to give to the house of the Lord? And we see the response, the impact that David's example had to the leaders of the tribes of Israel. The scriptures tell us in verse 6 that they came and they offered willingly. They didn't offer begrudgingly. They didn't offer with the hope of getting some gain back. They offered willingly. For the work was great. For this temple was not for man, but for the Lord God. We did read in verses 7 and 8 what they gave. But look at the response. Verse 9. "The people rejoiced, for they offered willingly." because with a perfect heart, and this is key. Again, they didn't offer begrudgingly. They didn't offer with a hope of getting something back. It was for the Lord. It was with a perfect heart. They offered willingly to the Lord, and David the king also rejoiced with great joy. And in the verses 10 through 16 that we read are possibly some of the greatest words of praise and worship found in the Old Testament. For when David saw all that the Lord had done for his people, David realized that his dream would be fulfilled. He wouldn't see it. He would be dead and buried, but the temple would be built, and it would be a glorious temple. And David, the scriptures tell us, blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And again, some of the greatest words of worship, exalting the person of God and who he is. Here in these verses, he said, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, and all that is in heaven and in earth is thine, and thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. What praise and worship and adoration to the God of glory who dwelt between the cherubim. And he said, both riches and honor come of thee. Thou reignest over all. And in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand to make great and to give strength unto all. Now notice verses 13 through 16. Because at the beginning we saw where David prepared himself. He set his own affection. He said, I have prepared with all my might the house of the Lord. I have set my affection upon the house of my God. But because of his example, because of his charge, because of the impact that it had on the people, listen to these words. He says, now therefore, our God, we thank thee. We thank thee. The whole congregation was worshiping and praising God. We thank thee and praise thy glorious name. But who am I? David, no doubt, remembered how God took him from the sheep, looking after sheep, and made him king over Israel. He said, who am I? And what are my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? And then he gives glory to God for what they had offered was of God anyway. For God had blessed them. And they were just giving back to God what was already his. For he said, for all things come of thee, and of thy own have we given thee. For we are strangers before thee, and sojourners with all of our fathers all the days of the earth. Or as a shadow, and there is none abiding. Verse 16. O Lord our God, all this abundance have we, that we have prepared to build a house, from thine holy name cometh of thine hand. It's all yours. And so we see a great partnership. It was all of God's, and he blessed them with it. And we see that David determined to do this great thing, and he made preparations, for he realized Solomon was young and was tender and was inexperienced, and he wanted the temple to be a glorious temple. He didn't want it to fail. And he made abundant preparations. And the congregation, all the congregation of the people of Israel, got behind him. A great and glorious partnership this was. And so we've seen David's desire and his affection. How he wanted to build a house for God. We've seen the example that he set, going above and beyond, giving of his own special treasure. We've seen the impact it had on those around him, those of the congregation, how that they willingly gave out of a perfect heart. And we saw how this resulted in praise and worship and adoration and rejoicing. among the leaders and the people of Israel. Friends, this evening, wouldn't you like to see that kind of dedication in our midst? Wouldn't you like to see that kind of passion, that kind of resolve in the hearts of God's people? Well, I'm here to tell you that this can happen. It can happen tonight. It can happen without question. It begins with each and every one of us as individuals. For we have to ask ourselves the question, where is my affection? Where is my desire? Perhaps you're here tonight and you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior. Reminded of the parable Lord Jesus told of that rich man who planted and received the great abundance of crops, so much so he couldn't store them all up. And he thought about it and he said, well, I'll tear my barns down and build bigger ones and I'll fill them up and I'll take it easy. And I'll eat, drink, and be merry. And it was said of him, thou fool, thou fool. Where is your affection? Where is your desire tonight? Is it in the things of this world? God said, thou fool, this night your soul is required of you. Friend, if you're here tonight and you're living for the things of this world and have no care of God, the Scriptures make it very clear that all have sinned. And the Scriptures make it very clear that there is only one Redeemer, one Savior. That is our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who loved us and gave himself for us on the cross, who died on the cross for our sins. The one who has risen from the dead, who has ascended. The one who has gained the victory that we could not gain for ourselves. Friend, if you've never trusted the Lord Jesus, do so. Do so. For those who build up treasures for themselves are not rich toward God. But we, as Christians, those of us who have followed and are following the Lord Jesus Christ, we have to examine our hearts. We have to ask ourselves, where is our affection? Where is our desire? Is my affection for God Himself? Is my desire to be a part of building a great and glorious temple in which God dwells in the midst of His people? We've been reminded that David made great preparations for the building of the temple before he died, and that temple was built. And God did come down and dwell in that temple, but David was dead and buried. I'm here to tell you this evening that David's greater son, the Lord Jesus Christ, he came down and died on the cross for sinners and arose from the dead. And that great and glorious work that he did was a work that made preparation for the building of a glorious temple in our midst that will be completed and perfect when he comes again to rule and reign in this world. Now you might be asking, well, what do you mean building a temple? There's no physical temple. You look at Jerusalem, all that's left is a wailing wall. But dear friends, a temple of God is being built today. The Apostle Paul said that this temple is made of individual believers, dwelt by the Holy Spirit, a household of God, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. And this temple was built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom we are being built together as a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Those of us here this evening, individual believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we're being built up as a holy temple. Now, there's an individual aspect to this and a corporate aspect to this. Paul mentioned in 1 Corinthians 6 how that every individual believer, that our bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. And every born-again believer in Jesus Christ is... Our bodies are a temple indwelt by the Spirit of God. And much could be said about the individual aspect of how we're to renew ourselves, how we're to build ourselves up in the faith. But in the time we have remaining, I want us to think about that corporate aspect of being built up. Believers fitting themselves together, built together as a holy temple unto the Lord. I want us to think about this. And in doing so, I'd like for us to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Paul wrote this letter to the Corinthian believers, and he had a great desire in his own heart. When he wrote this letter, he desired that the Corinthian believers would be unified in the local meeting. He wanted them to glory in the Lord, not in men. It seems there were factions, there were strifes, there were cliques. There were believers that were following the man. Apollos, Peter, Paul himself, some spiritual-minded believers said, well, we're a Christ follower. There were those that were puffed up, those that were self-centered, those that were living immoral lives. And Corinth itself was an ungodly city, and many of the characteristics of the city were infiltrating themselves into the church itself. It was Paul's great desire that the Christians in Corinth would repent and get right with God, to be used of God. They would be unified. And Paul set an example before them. He says this in 1 Corinthians 4 and in 1 Corinthians 11. He was an example. He said, be an imitator of me as I am of Christ. And Paul went to Corinth and he preached Christ crucified, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians. Not in the wisdom of this world, not in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. And he preached Christ crucified. And he also preached Christ risen from the dead. And we see that in 1 Corinthians 15. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, I urge you to imitate me. Follow my example. We come to this passage in 1 Corinthians 3. Verse 9, Paul said, we are laborers together with God. And in the context, he's probably speaking specifically of Apollos and Peter and others. But I'd like for us to apply it to ourselves tonight. Those of us who are Christians, we're laborers together with God. And he said, according to the grace of God, which was given me. And that's where it starts, isn't it? Even as we heard that medley of instrumental songs concerning grace tonight, that's where it starts. Paul could remember how that he was persecuting the church, how he consented to put Christians to death. And God saved him. And God empowered him. And he said, according to the grace of God, which was given me as a wise master builder. It was the grace of God that revealed to Paul the glorious mysteries of the church that were hidden. And even as Moses was shown the pattern of the tabernacle, and we saw David was shown the pattern of the temple, even Paul was shown the pattern of the church. And he said, according to the grace of God, which is given to me as a wise master builder and architect, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth on it. Now watch this. We see the charge of Paul. the end of verse 10. But let every man take heed how he buildeth on it. Let every man take heed. For Paul gave charge concerning the quality of the materials and the workmanship that went into building this holy temple, which is also the church. Because you see, the work is great. The work is great. Because this holy temple, the church, is not for man. We see of instances where it seems like it's of man, but it's not for man. This holy temple, this church, is for God. And Paul says there's no other foundation that a man can build on than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And he speaks of the materials here that are used in the building of this holy temple. He said, "Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day will declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall test every man's work." Notice it says, not every man, every man's work, of what sort it is. Six materials: gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. And all of these materials are going to have to endure the consuming fire of a holy and righteous God. And only those materials that will endure and last will be accepted. And those other materials that cannot endure will only burn up in the midst of this blaze of glory. And so we're to take heed how we're to build. Gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. Now, I believe in the context of this passage, I think an argument could be made that what we have speaking of here deals primarily with the teaching and the preaching and the doctrine, and that which is sound doctrine. And Paul preached Christ crucified, and he preached the resurrection of Christ, and he preached sound doctrine, and these things are important. And these are the things that we build upon. But I would also add that sound doctrine and teaching must be accompanied by soundness of life. Soundness of life. And I believe that the quality of our materials and our workmanship, I believe that our attitudes and our affections and our desires very much enter into this. We read in 1 Corinthians 4, the chapter over, verse 5. Don't pronounce judgment before the time, before the Lord comes. Who will bring to light the things now hidden in darkness, and will disclose the purposes of the heart. The purposes of the heart. You remember that the congregation of Israel, how that they gave willingly with a perfect heart. This is what God would desire of us. You remember also that David was concerned of Solomon because he was young and tender. And we realize even in the local assembly and in the church of the living God corporate, there are many that are young and that are tender and need to be built up in the faith. And it's our responsibility as Christians to do so. Paul mentioned in 1 Corinthians how that knowledge puffs up, blows up like a balloon, it pops, it's gone, nothing left. But love edifies, love builds up. The Apostle Paul said in Romans, he said, "Let us pursue the things that make for peace and the things which one may edify, may build up another." These are the things that build up. This is the gold, the silver, the precious stones. But dear friends, in Corinth, there was factions, there was cliques, there was gossips, there were individuals who were puffed up. And these are the things that make for wood, hay, and stubble. And they'll be burned up at the judgment seat of Christ. The scriptures tell us in 1 Corinthians 3, if any man's work abide which he have built upon it, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, they will suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet as by fire. But look at verses 16 and 17. Know ye not. And the ye here, the you here, is in the plural. It's speaking of all of us, not just one of us, not individuals, speaking of us corporately in the local meeting. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? And if any man defiles the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Again, this is speaking of us corporately as believers, and we need to realize the solemnness of this. That when we engage in factions and cliques, and speak badly of one another and tear one another down, I would suggest to you that we defile the temple of God. We ruin it. The temple of God is holy, which ye are. Paul wanted to set the example. Well, the impact that he had, I would say, was mixed. When you read the second letter he wrote, 2 Corinthians, there were issues that were dealt with, but then there were those who questioned his apostleship. How would these things impact us as Christians? Well, the future will tell. But I can tell you what the results will be. The results are going to be rejoicing, praise, adoration, worship. You say, well, you may not see this now. Oh, you're going to see it in the future. You're going to see this. For we read in Revelation chapter 5, that they will come together and they will say, you are worthy to take the scroll and open its seals, for you were slain, speaking of that freshly slain Lamb of God, our Lord Jesus Christ. And you have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. Dear friends, that holy temple is being built up today out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. And that glorious temple is going to be completed, and the Lord Jesus is going to come again. And they go on. John says he looked and he heard the voice of many angels around the throne and living creatures and elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, far greater than David's congregation there of Israel. And they say with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength, honor and glory and blessing. And every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and such that are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits upon the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. And the four living creatures said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him who lives forever and ever. That is the result. That is the result. Worship, adoration, praise to the one who alone is worthy. And so may we as Christians realize that individually we make up a part of a great and glorious temple that's being built up in this day in which we live. May we take heed and build. May we give it all of our energy as David did. May we give willingly with a perfect heart, as we read of the congregation of Israel. May we take heed how we build. For we are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwells in us. May we build gold, silver, and precious stones, shall we pray. Our Father, we do thank you for your word and how it speaks to us in a real way. And we pray that each and every individual heart will be led by your Spirit in a way that will bring glory and honor to you and to the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.